Hello, I am Bob Waddell. I'm the chairman of the Emergency Pediatric Care Program for the National Association of EMTs. I also am the vice president of emergency preparedness and response for the SACO triage method. And I've been in EMS for approximately 32 years and a paramedic for over 25. One of the things that I think, especially for new students, and not just for the advanced level student, but the basic level also, is to properly care for a patient, you have to maintain your composure and your focus. Now, in maintaining your composure does not mean that you need to be the stone cold ice maiden type mentality. Show no emotion, show no expression, anything like that. We're human and you need to maintain that humanity. But you also need to really think about what is killing the patient first. When you get into complex situations, one of the old jokes, old cliches, is paramedics save patients' lives and EMTs save paramedics. There's a lot of truth into that cliche because when you get into trouble, when you get in over your head, when the patient is more complex and you're in that everything is going wrong situation, or even not everything's going right situation, dropping back, get away from the advanced skills, start back at the basics and work your way up. Make sure that you have the foundation covered. We preach and preach in the courses and the books, airway, breathing, circulation. But often we forget that between breathing and circulation, we have to have oxygen and we have to have ventilation. So it really is airway, breathing, oxygen, ventilation, circulation. Then it's circulation. You know, Dr. Peter Pons, who's one of the gurus of trauma care, has an adage that says, all bleeding will stop sooner or later. Our job is to make sure that it's sooner, not later. Focus on the priorities. Keep the priorities straight. Let me give you a situation that really reinforced this to me in a very personal way. My partner and I responded to a house in a very remote area. We arrived, it was midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, so the lighting was poor, it was in the winter, it was cold, all the environmental, this is just not a good night to be out. And laying on these people's driveway was the wife, a grossly obese person, 300-400 pounds, in full cardiac arrest. Fire department arrived, we attempted resuscitation. At that time, we did not have the ability to declare the patient dead, so we had to work her, had to attempt resuscitation, got her in the ambulance, had one of the firemen drive us, so two paramedics in the back and another fireman, just because of her size and the complexness of what was going on. We did get her heart back for a while, and in and amongst doing that and trying to figure out the cause, if there was something we could treat, she went back into course V-fib. My partner, who was a Vietnam medic, was 6'7" tall, grabbed the paddles and went to defibrillate this woman at precisely the moment that he pushed the buttons to defibrillate. We hit a rut or a bump in the dirt road, and this woman's right or left breast made contact with his hand, and so when he defibrillated her, he was defibrillated and thrown against the side of the ambulance. I'm sitting there kind of looking at amazement, because to get a person who's 6'7" inches tall in the door well of an ambulance was impressive amongst itself. But the electrical defibrillation did exactly what it was supposed to do. It stopped his heart. So we had to stop the ambulance, get him up on the crew bench, and we had two cardiac arrests at the same time. Fortunately, I was able to keep my focus on that, in that the original patient had literally no chance of surviving the episode. The distance, the time it took us to get to her, her downtime, her overall physical condition, other medical conditions were there. the folks, fire department, EMS personnel that were helping us wanted to resuscitate both patients. My new focus was saving my partner because he did have a chance of survival. And it worked out well. He came back, spent a couple days in ICU, was not a very happy person that I had intubated him. He had a very sore throat, but, you know, he at least could tell me that he didn't like the way I intubated. And so it was actually worked out well. But what it showed, and as we did the medical reviews for both the ambulance service, the hospital, and the state on this, of what happened and why, it really showed that you have your protocols, you have your processes that you need to follow. Good patient care is a standardized process. But it also shows that at times you need to change your focus to what's going to kill the patient first. What is my top priority? Which patient is my top priority? When you get into some of these complex situations, think about the patient. What do you need to do to help the patient? And not what's the most dramatic, not that broken, twisted, ripped open arm or leg, but they're not breathing. Their heart's not beating. Their heart is not beating adequate. They're not breathing adequate. Focus on the priorities. Take care of it. Then ask yourself, now, what is killing the patient first? Treat it, fix it where you can, and ask the question again and again until you can finally tell yourself, there's nothing that's going to kill the patient. I've taken care of them, I've treated them, I've given report to the hospital, and I have become part of the medical team caring for this individual as if they were someone that I knew and loved. I did give them the best care possible.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.